Today on the Pastor Study, we're going to continue our study that we've been doing on the issue of authority. But before we begin today, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for this opportunity to come together with our listeners and to open up thy very words, your very inspired words, as you've promised to preserve them, and as we find them today in the Authorized Version 1611 King James Bible. Father, I pray that this study and all our studies would encourage our listeners, encourage the saints of God, lift them up, strengthen them in the spiritual battle that they face each day, Lord. Father, we pray also for the lost sinner that may be listening today, that's never called from a heart of faith on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this would be the very day that they would call upon the precious name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in their heart that he died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day, and that they're trusting in only his shed blood and nothing else to pay for all their sins, past, present, and future, and secure them a home in heaven. Father, we will rejoice with the angels in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Father, now we commit this time into thy hands, and we ask all these things in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, as in our study on the issue of authority, last time we turned our attention to the charismatic movement's doctrine, our teaching, amen, of women leaders in the church, such as preachers and pastors and teachers and evangelists. And what we did was, we didn't allow our feelings or what we thought about it. We went right to the scriptures. And we saw at the scriptures that we looked at last time that there's a clear teaching of a scripture that a woman is not to be in such positions as preachers, pastors, teachers, evangelists, or even deacons. And that they're not to have rule over a man in the church, or teach in the church, or teach other men, amen? And then we turned our attention, and we looked at some examples where the charismatic point to and say, hey, look it, God used these women. They were in leadership positions in the Bible. And we looked at the case of Deborah in Judges chapter 4. And we saw how she was used of God. Amen. Along with Barak to go after, to defeat Sisera in his army. But the thing we want to see is, at the time in the book of Judges, men were weak. See? The men in Deborah's day were weak and cowardly, and the men failed to obey God. And when that happens, God will use women. But women leaders are not God's blessing upon a nation or a people, but a rebuke to the sin and failure of its men. And then we started to look at the example of Philip's daughters. Let's pick up there. We read it, but let's look at it again, read the passage, and then get into the discussion. In Acts 21, verses 8 and 9, we read the following. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed, and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. The same man had four daughters virgins, which did prophesy. Now, because the four virgin daughters of Philip, the evangelist, prophesied, this passage has been used to justify women preachers and leaders in the church. However, women teaching men and speaking in church is strictly forbidden, as seen in the previous passages that we looked at. The misunderstanding at this point is a simple one. A simple one that involves the definition of prophesy. As seen in the study on the spiritual gifts, the word prophesy simply means to declare truth. It does not have to refer to future predictions, prophecy, for example. As a spiritual gift, it is one of the most important, as contrasted with tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and the most necessary. There is a sense in which all Christian women and men should prophesy. That is, declaring Christ and sharing the truth of the gospel with the lost. Now, women, as evidenced here, and in Acts chapter 2, and we'll read that in Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, we'll read it in a moment, can clearly have access to this spiritual gift. Acts chapter 2, 17 and 18. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. However, the Holy Spirit has placed some very clear restrictions on its use with regard to women and their relationship to men and to the local church. Being identified as virgins, these four ladies very likely made the sacrifice of staying single in order to wholeheartedly devote their lives to serving the Lord Jesus Christ, as discussed by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 32 and 34. Let's turn together then to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And verses 32 to 34, we read the following. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, and she may be holy both in body and spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Now, the most notable thing about this passage, I'm talking, referring to the passage that we read in Acts chapter 21, verses 8 and 9. However, is that when God wanted to give a future prophetic prophecy to Paul. He did not use one of Philip's daughters. When God wanted to give the Apostle Paul a message, he went to all of the trouble to bring a male prophet from Judea to speak to him. He did not use Philip's daughters. Look at Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21, verses 10 to 11. We read the following. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So we see that God used a male prophet named Agabus to give a prophetic prophecy to Paul. Amen. About what would happen to him if he went to Jerusalem. Now let's look at the challenge. The challenge to all that we have been studying. First of all, let's look at the situation. You see, we are living in an age of rebellion. Unbelievers and many believers detest the authority of God and His Word and are living in open rebellion against it. Scripture predicts no massive revival before the return of Jesus Christ. Rather, it clearly points to a time of growing evil and apostasy. Now let's turn to the scriptures to see what it says about the last days that you and I are living in right now, this age of rebellion. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. We read the following. This know also. Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, but he also doesn't want not only Timothy to know this, but he also wants you and I to know this. What does he want us to know? This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. My dear friend, if you're honest today, listening today, be honest. Doesn't what we just read there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1-5, describe that the times that you and I are living in. These are the last days. As Paul wrote, perilous times have come. We're living in perilous times. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, Paul continues and he says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Again, describing the character of man today. Describing that evil men and seducers are going to be get worse and worse. And they're going to deceive. And they're going to be deceived themselves. We're living right now in that very time, I believe. Don't you? Be honest with yourself. Now, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. We read the following. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's the time we're living in. People will not endure sound doctrine. In fact, there may be some of you who are listening today, and even though that I've clearly shown you things from the very words of God, counter to what the charismatic manic movement teaches, you're going to continue to believe a lie. You're not going to endure sound doctrine. But that's the signs of the time that we're living in. We see more and more solid Bible-believing churches falling away into apostasy, no longer enduring sound doctrine. In fact, most of the churches today are nothing but entertainment centers. There's no more teaching of the Word of God, no more teaching and preaching of sound doctrine, but just things that tickle the people's ears and make them feel good about themselves. Amen. So what's the options? What options do we have? Option number one, you can go with the flow of the world. And most of Christianity, rejecting Scripture as your final authority, and live by what you think is best. Listen to what Jeremiah had to say, my friend. And in Jeremiah chapter 44, in verse 16, through the beginning of verse 17, we read the following. As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth. Jeremiah said that back then. Amen. And that's what exactly most people, the world and most Christians are doing. They're rejecting what has been spoken from the Word of God and will not hearken unto it. But what will they hearken unto is what they say, what they think is best, what they think is right. Well, that's option number one. But thank God there's option number two. The second option is you can submit to the revealed, written Word of God as your final authority, holding fast to its truth and walking by faith. You can take the Word of God as your final authority and use it to measure everything else by as your standard, amen. Listen to some verses of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Listen to this. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Well, we've spent an awful lot of time on this study on the issue of authority. Let's summarize some of the things that we've learned. For almost a century, those who have believed and taught that sign gifts of the apostle are for today have had their say. One would expect a genuine movement of the Holy Spirit of God to result in more souls saved, a greater love for the Word of God, and a greater love for Jesus Christ Himself is demonstrated by obedience to the Word He wrote. Instead, the fruit of the charismatic movement has been a powerless Christianity marked by an abandonment of the doctrinal teaching of the Word of God. An unsure Christianity where few believers have any genuine security in their salvation. A fearful Christianity, where one is afraid of committing the unpardonable sin and losing one's salvation. A worldly Christianity that dresses like the world, sings like the world, dances like the world, and acts like the world. A faithless Christianity that relies upon feelings, signs, wonders, and experiences rather than the black and white promises of the Word of God. A compromising Christianity that abandons doctrine in the name of love to ecumenically unite with every godless faith marching under the banner of religion. A lukewarm Christianity that will not stand against sin and for truth. A missed-focused Christianity that is preoccupied with looking for signs and wonders rather than listening for and looking for the return of Jesus Christ. And a rebellious Christianity that fails in the most basic of commands to submit to the final authority of the written Word of God. Again, I just want to emphasize again the fruit of the charismatic movement. What has the fruit been? What is the fruit that the charismatic movement has produced? What kind of Christianity? Again, the key words, a powerless Christianity, an unsure Christianity, a fearful Christianity, a worldly Christianity, a faithless Christianity, a compromising Christianity, a lukewarm Christianity, a misfocused Christianity, and a rebellious Christianity. The question is, where Do you stand? What is your standard? What do you measure everything else by? As Elijah said, how long halt ye between two opinions? And Joshua added the challenge. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Who or what will be your final authority, my dear friend? We all have a final authority, do we not? Right? Do we not all have a final authority? We looked in our study, did we not? For the options of what is your final authority? We looked at four candidates. Did we not? We saw that the four candidates for a final authority was one, a church, yourself, God's continuing revelations, or God's completed revelation, the Holy Bible. So what will be your final authority? Will it be the opinions, feelings, and experiences of one you see every morning in the mirror? Meaning you. Or will you choose to submit to the Almighty Creator of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, and every word of His precious holy scriptures? So what's it going to be? Choose. Is your final authority going to be the completed revelation of Almighty God as we find His inspired words today in the King James Bible? Or is it going to be someone or something else? All I can say, if you do not choose God's completed, written revelation, my dear friend, is your final authority to live by, to measure everything else by, then, my dear friend, you're headed for destruction. This concludes our study on the issue of authority. Again, my dear listener, these past studies that we've been doing over the last several weeks, be it this issue of authority or the spiritual gifts or the charismatic movement or the ecumenical movement, all of these things are important. And I'm willing to offer them to you absolutely free if you would like a copy on CD. All you have to do is drop me a line at the address you're going to be given at the end of this broadcast. Tell me what you want. If you want the catalog that lists all the studies we've had, I'll send you that free. Again, I have a book that I've published that's entitled Sermons and Studies That Make Sense, Bible Sense. If you'd like a copy of that, I'll send that out to you absolutely free. Again, I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to me today. Brother Gino Cassieri, until we meet again, may God richly bless you is my prayer, and good day.